And to comment further on that, I'm joined by dear friend and political satirist extraordinaire, Mr. Barry Crimmins. He's on the line with us right now. Barry, welcome to WMBR once again.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. How are you?
I'm okay, and I'm glad to have you. I think you're an important voice in this retrospective, and as you've lived through it as well and always had something to say about it, even at the time, and here we are 10 years out.
I had something to say about it immediately, and I think if you go back, if you dig into my website far enough, you can find what I had to say at the time. And I you know, it didn't take a genius to see what was coming, and it came. You know, I mean, the terrorists that attacked the United States got exactly the response they wanted out of us, and 10 years later, here we are in intractable, violent circumstances, and it's just, I mean, it's just unbelievable how cynical everything is. I mean, you know, you take this indefensible, insane, senseless, and failed foreign policy and then hide it behind these economically conscripted soldiers. So if you question it all, you don't care about our heroes. And heroes became the big thing, and everybody was a hero. And certainly there was all sorts of heroic acts on 9/11. But you would think that they were all running into that building to save flags, you know, and not human beings. They went into that building to save lives and to save innocent victims of madness, and you know, the one lesson we could have taken from it and needed to take from it was that it's insane. We can't, you know, the massacre of innocents or the massacre of anyone is unacceptable. And instead, of course, we went on and massacred, you know, countless number, you know, like multiple times the amount of innocents that were killed. And here we are 10 years later, and now they're going to have this whole maudlin weekend where everybody who can, you know, sort of like find a way to pretend they're really expressing, you know, this concern and showing their great humanity are, in fact, these narcissistic clowns basing the whole thing around themselves. Just the same as that asinine thing that was said right after this thing happened. Well, the whole world changed on 9/11. The whole world didn't change on 9/11. 9/11 in a lot of the world is called Tuesday, you know. The rest of the United States became more like the rest of the world. That's some of the same fears the rest of the world faces every day of senseless violence. But the thing is, we come from a country who could do a lot to diffuse a lot of that senseless violence, in particular because so much of it comes from the absolute waste of our resources in this country to put it into weapons and weaponry and militarism that is used to oppress and punish people and strike back blindly and appease ill-informed, ignorant people in this country who think it's about time we did something like that, because, you know, we want to do something like that. It doesn't have to be specific, but, you know, just so long as a bunch of people are dead, we'll feel a little better. Well, I didn't then, I don't now, and here we are 10 years later. And I mean, when are we going to catch on, and when are we going to do something about it?
Well, a bunch of people being dead is, that's something that our military kind of does best, but it turned around and bit us in the ass as it was on 9/11, and so now we get to feel what that feels like. And, you know, here we are 10 years later.
Well, I don't in any way want to, certainly people can say that, you know, goes around, comes around, all that kind of stuff. I don't even want to get into that. Because I don't want to okay anybody doing this to us or anybody. I don't want it done, you know. And I oppose all of it. I'm with Howard there. I mean, I just don't want to. You know, that's not the way to go. I understand that these things happen, and I understand, you know, some people believe in a Gandhi revolution, and some people believe in a French revolution. And it's not like, you know, the thugs don't have it coming, but certainly, just this mass victimization of a bunch of people, you know, I mean, people, you know, a bunch of busboys in a hotel, I mean, in a restaurant got killed that day. I mean, it's just terrible.
People just going to work and what have you. But
yeah, that's right. And you know, and it's cops and firemen and other people, but particularly the firemen who ran into the building, you know, and anyone else, and the people who tried to save other people and were killed. I mean, just one tragic, sad story after the next. But here's the worst of it is, I live up here in upstate New York, western New York, poor rural area, Steuben County, one of the poorest counties in the state. And on a regular basis, they bring home dead kids from that war. And that's, to that family, it's 9/11 again. To that family, to the family of that kid and the friends of those kids and who love them, it's that day. Except they play that in such a way. Those people, they're all heroes. Well, you know, it's not heroic to get killed by stepping on an IED. It's tragic. It's nothing to emulate. It's nothing to use. But I'm telling you, they kill these kids. They bring them home. And 3 weeks later, there's two new recruiting stations in those towns because they've turned it into a thing of glamour. Because everyone's a hero, and you're not allowed to say anything different. And everyone who died was a saint, and that's the. And it's just like, well, you know, some of these kids are just poor kids who never had a chance. Who the only way they had to get to college was to go through Baghdad or Afghanistan three times. So you know, we lost a kid in Tyrone, New York, this week, who got killed, who got shot in Afghanistan. We lost a kid in Hornell. We lost a kid. I mean, like, kids all around here are getting killed all the time. But it's in places where people don't really hear about it, and they bring them home one at a time, and it's, we're divided and conquered, and we don't get the composite effect. It's not like seeing, you know, that Look magazine where everybody that got killed in Vietnam in 1 week is shown in one magazine. But it's happened. It's slower motion, but it's just as tragic, just as heartbreaking, and just a senseless waste, just the same as it is a senseless waste to have a bunch of people cranked up on Mountain Dew with joysticks sitting in Nevada shooting drones at poor people in Afghanistan and Pakistan and wherever else. And you don't wonder why we're hated. Because whoever kills your people are the Nazis to you. Whoever kills you, your people, are the most evil people on earth. Well, if your people are just innocent people who got killed because they were near somewhere where somebody else thought, well, we want to clear out this whole area just in case, you know, well, then you hate anyone that thinks that way. And you have and it's really hard to argue with people who respond that way. And it's a very few people who can respond here, there, or anywhere in a way as heroically as some have who do not respond with the demand for more violence and more madness. And, you know, that's what this weekend should be about. It should be about peace. It should be about finding solutions, finding justice, and not celebrating and blindly and falling in line. And this crap, this phrase, they're all using, freedom isn't free. Well, then we ought to liberate it. If anything should be free, it's freedom. It should blossom and be from everywhere, and it should be available to everybody. And the idea that it's not free, yeah, it's not free. No, it's enslaved by an insane foreign policy in this country, and it's enslaved by our cowardice to have to shut up every time someone gets called a hero to not say, well, you know, I'm sorry, that's tragedy, that's not heroism. I understand that people do heroic acts under all these circumstances, and and human beings do that. But it's not uniquely American. It's nothing to get behind a flag about. It's nothing else. It's something to be proud of fellow human beings that they'll lay down their lives for one another in a pinch. They will. And it doesn't matter where you're from, what language you speak, what religion you believe in or don't believe in. It doesn't matter. But they're killing these people and allowing this killing to go on because we are too cowardly to say anything about it is the shame that is on this country for the past 10 years. And that's basically all I had to say today, Chuck. I mean, I don't have much else to say.
Well,
not about me.
You certainly said a lot already, and that you mentioned the cowardice of people here unable to speak up. We're supposedly in a free society, yet in Egypt and across the Middle East, they've been standing up to dictators that are being shot at to get their rights, but they're doing it. In the communist countries in the 1980s and 90s, they stood up and overthrew totalitarian regimes,
right.
Yet here we're supposedly free, but you know, you try and speak out and they tell you to shut up.
And people do, and people know. And there's a price to be paid. You know, I mean, there's a price to be paid. And it's not, you know what, just in any line of work. You as a journalist, Chuck, if you shut up, your competence as a journalist, your ability to go out and get stories, your ability to put the things together and to be back and quickly get things on the air for people, whatever, you should have a tremendous job in journalism. You're never going to get one. Because they're not going to like the stories you get. And you're not going to go give them the pap they're looking for.
No,
because,
that's...
you know, this weekend you could make a lot of money doing stories about how, you know, about heroes.
Well, you know, here in Boston, the two planes that hit the World Trade Center came out of Boston, so there's a lot of personal loss here.
You know how many
times
I was on that flight to Los Angeles in my day? I mean, that's as close as I came to the thing, but I know exactly what it felt like to sit there, to get to that airport at that time, and to get on that plane, and to get ready, and you're in your hat, and you're going to Los Angeles, and you kind of know who else is on the plane. But it was a very specific thing, you know? And but it's not based around me. I mean, I just something like that brought me a little closer in this way. You know, a kid from my hometown was killed in there. I mean, we're all touched by it. We're all touched by it. But I'm touched, like I say, every time I hear one of these stories. I'm touched when I hear about innocents being massacred by these drones. Just thinking about it, people, how many wedding parties have we just wiped out? People just getting together, you know, having a celebration of a marriage, and the next thing you know, they're killed by this monstrously large nation that can't afford health care for its own people, but has plenty of money to destroy the health and lives of others and ruin our own health with the poisons that seep out of all the weaponry that we're storing here. It's like hatred. When you're not using it, it's still soaking into you. So that's why you don't want to, you know, you want to try to divest yourself of that kind of stuff. You don't want to carry the toxins around with you or store them. They have to be somewhere. And when they're not working on something else, when they're not doing the ultimate thing you want them to do, they're still working away at something. You know, so... I don't know.
Well, you mentioned the drones, and yet in the mainstream media, they tout the drones as being progress and how we keep our boys out of harm's way instead of sending them into the combat themselves or sending these robot planes.
And that's the thing. It's because, and that's all about, and that's in response to the success we had during the Vietnam era of, you know, of making people notice, you know, the deaths of the American kids. That were, you know, and making that matter and holding them accountable for it. So then they figured out, they learned the lesson of Vietnam wasn't that killing, senseless killing and needless violence is crazy, and instead, they to them the lesson of Vietnam was we can't get that big of an American body count, so the best thing to do is to just sort of indiscriminately wipe out the enemy. And keep our people as far away as possible. But you know, it still doesn't work because time passes and people figure out ways to get back at you. And here come the IEDs, here come the terrorists, here come the whatever. Violence begets violence begets violence.
It always has.
Yep.
Well, on a different note here on the home front, as it were, how would you deal with that religious extremism and people scapegoating Muslims as an example of, you know, it's creeping fascism in this country, and we have to fight against that, too?
Well, I mean, you have to let all the nuts talk. That's
part of freedom, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. You know what, I don't want to say, I sort of don't want to get into religious stuff today because I'm a little, I've been burying too many friends lately, and I'm tired of, like, people making these preposterous claims. I'm already sort of heartbroken, and then I have to sit there and say, but don't worry, Jesus will, he's with Jesus now, but eventually, when Jesus comes back to earth, he'll come and get his body and bring him as, like, you know, L. Ron Hubbard wouldn't try and sell this crap, and it's considered mainstream and normal here. And then, you know, but when somebody else's sort of like wacky version of whatever their deal is from wherever they're, so that's the threat to us. Well, it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, people can have whatever they want for spirituality. I got nothing to say about it. When you start in poetry, I just hope that people understand that, you know, a far-fetched answer is a far-fetched answer. And, you know, to me, my spirituality is my conscience. And
let your conscience
be
your guide.
I have to answer to my conscience.
Yes. Well,
I mean, I would ask more people to answer to their consciences and to speak up when they need to speak up. To speak up if they're oppressing some poor Muslim, if someone's scapegoating somebody who clearly doesn't have anything to do with anything, or just only, or you know, there's a tiny, tiny chance they might. But, you know, presuming guilt, that's Nazi stuff. That's killing everybody in the village where you suspect one guy is. You know, there's one guy from the underground in here, wipe out the whole village. Then we know we got him. You know, that's not the America I grew up watching in movies, but
it's
apparently
not
it's the America I did, in fact, grow up in.
Well, it's not the America we want to be in, and we as the citizens have the right to change it. So it's,
yeah, but I mean, you know, you look what they did to dissidents in World War One. You know, I mean, it's whatever.
Well, we're like 100 years out from World War One now, so hopefully we've learned something in that time.
Yeah, they've learned how to just quash the dissidents before it even occurs. You know, that's the problem. I mean, the problem in this country is we just have no political spectrum. That spectrum only goes to the right. You know, and this whole thing. I mean, this idea that moderation has to do with compromising between two like lousy choices. I mean, it's just like, well, you know, if we would just take the average of crap and manure and stand on it, that would be good ground. And it's like, well, it's fertile soil for something.
Yeah, it's compost.
But the idea, I mean, like, my views are never even allowed at the table in this country. I'm too crazy because I'm not a liberal. I'm to the leftist, you know. So my views aren't even allowed at the table. They're allowed at the table in most countries, but in the United States, the land of freedom, no, you can't even. Get serious. That's off the national health care. I mean, socialized medicine. That's not even on the. We're not even talking about that. All we're talking about is a boondoggle for the people who created this crisis in the first place. You know, that's, and I'm supposed, but in the meantime, because I'm supposed to be so afraid of some crackpot further to the right, that I'm supposed to kneel, I'm not allowed at the table, but I can kneel under it and lick the boots of the guy who once in a while decides to kick me in the crotch. Well, I don't know, I'm kind of done with that, too.
Wow, interesting perspective, as always. That's why I called upon you to add your comments to the day in the reflection of the weekend.
Well, I mean, I wish my, and honestly, as in whatever way, and whatever my tone sounds like or whatever, I really wish everybody love and peace, true love and peace, to kind of take some courage, you know, the kind that matters, the kind that means something, and the kind of courage to speak up and to say what they need to say, to not go along with the cowardly mob, you know, but to stand up and consider things for real and understand when you're being hoodwinked. Just stop and think about it a little bit. And I know there's a lot of people that are like that. Well, you just you know, like, don't let people trick you into thinking you're somehow indecent because you're not going along with, you know, being a part of a bloodthirsty mob. That's nothing. There's nothing decent about being a part of a bloodthirsty mob. There's something decent about standing up and saying, that's crazy, I'm standing over here to the side, and I'm going to say this is as mad as anything else. But we have to stop wasting all our resources. We talk about deficits. It's like the worst thing, of course, you could ever leave a child is a debt, unless it's for college, and then they can all owe $200,000. But you know, I mean, yeah, I'll tell you what. I would hope that we could raise the kind of kids who 50 years from now would say, would check off a box on their income tax that says, I'd be happy to check off this box that says I'll give $20 to help pay for my grandparents' dinner 38 years ago. You know, but much more than to pay for the madness of our militarism for the past century. That's, you know, I mean, it's a waste. That's the big minus sign. If you do things that foster and encourage life, it will be profitable, and we will do well, and there will be enough for everybody. But if we just do things that just, make the profiteers, the fat cats fatter, and the violence worse, well, you know, there's no amount of, you know, there's nothing we can do to help our grandchildren. There's nothing, because we've already screwed them before they even get here.
Well, the vision is to, you know, the waste of the finances and the budget crisis, a lot of that comes out of the military and the wars,
sure.
So...
Pentagon's so greedy, they have an extra side on their building.
Classic Barry Crimmins line. Classic Barry Crimmins line. Mm-hmm. Well, Barry, thank you for taking time to talk with us
here
today.
I love you, brother, and I wish everybody peace and courage, and I hope that and I hope that anyone who was directly affected by this can find some peace and solace this weekend and find something in their heart, the idea that, you know, well, just the courage to really move forward and heal and not get tricked by this, you know, this sort of collective lunacy and maudlin nonsense that seems to have taken the nation by storm once again. Because I don't know, I think it's pretty weird that, you know, it seems like we're almost celebrating something that the people who did this would want to celebrate. You know, so I don't know. Anyway, well, I wish everybody the best, and I'll see you soon. I'm going to be up there somewhere doing some shows soon, and I'll tell you.
Yeah, I saw that on your Facebook page. I was going to ask you about that, but today's not about you. But
no, I understand. But I'll see you all up there in a while.
Great, thanks. Keep in touch about that. And Barry Crimmins, words of wisdom for a thought-provoking weekend. Thank you for sharing your time.
Thank you very much for having me, Chuck. So long.